Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Good morning, everyone. Let's do this. It's O'Connor and Company on this Tuesday morning in the nation's capital. Julie Gunlock's here. So all is right with the world. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Big day today.
It is. It's Tuesday.
Coming up at 6:05, Laura Bryant Hanford. She's a mom out of Fairfax County. She testified in the House hearing on Sage's Law. We're going to tell you a little bit about Sage's Law coming up in this hour. It has to do with a young child who was sex trafficked and not returned to her parents because they wouldn't affirm the new gender identity of their own child. We'll tell you all about that horrific story and why there needs to be a law named for Sage. At 6:35, Jeff Burke, vice chairman of the Republican Jewish Coalition, founder of truthtells.org, all about Ilhan Omar being removed from Foreign Affairs Committee. 7:05, our pal James Rosen, chief White House correspondent at Newsmax. 7:35, Victoria Cobb, president of the Family Foundation of Virginia, with a great, great news. This is also great news. We've got a bill moving its way through Virginia about saving girls' sports. Sorry. The next guest at 8:05, Sean Carney, is CEO and president of 40 Days for Life. Great news. Mark Houck acquitted. We're going to give you all the details about that in a moment. And then at 8:35, Virginia Delegate Nick Freitas, member of the House of Delegates there in Virginia.
What a day.
Whole lot going on. Oh, and a whole lot moving through. I'd confuse the fact that we have this great news about Mark Houck and we have a guest about saving girls' sports because both of those guests are engaged in both of those issues.
That's right.
That said, let's talk about Mark Houck. For those of you who forget, this is the father of seven up in rural Pennsylvania who was praying, standing on a street corner, a public street, praying in front of a Planned Parenthood location in the city of Philadelphia. A volunteer worker at Planned Parenthood goes out of his way, gets in this guy's face, starts a very hostile verbal confrontation. Mr. Houck, a dad and a dude, decides he doesn't need this guy in his face anymore.
The protester got in his face in front of Houck's son.
Yeah.
Okay. Young son, and he was saying vile, disgusting things in front of this guy's
son. In front
son,
of his little child.
Which naturally, as a parent, you want to protect your child.
Now, many of us would say, hey, you bring your kid to Philly.
Right,
that's
going
to happen because it's Philly and you got people doing and saying vile things. Have you ever met a Philadelphian?
But of course, that is an important part of it.
A hugely important part. And so, and Mr. Houck said multiple times, get out of here. Get out of my way.
Get out of my face.
Get out of my face. Get away from my child. I'm praying. And ultimately, he did what a guy should be allowed to do in our society, which is push him away. He was in his personal space.
We've all seen this from Antifa types, right?
Right.
They stick a bullhorn in your ear so you could literally have hearing loss, but you're not allowed to push them away. That's assault. Or they'll get in your face and spit in your face, but they won't actually touch you, and you're not allowed to respond
just
to that.
So you know, as far as the law is concerned, getting in someone's face like that and screaming, that is assault, too. It doesn't have to be physical assault. So this guy was defending himself, defending his son's integrity, and he pushed him away. And suddenly, you know, it's a big deal. The police are called in. The local police did not press charges. There was a civil suit filed. This guy sued Mark Houck in civil court for physical damages.
He wanted this, right?
So then he sues and it gets thrown out.
Thrown out.
There is no case. So, of course, Joe Biden's Justice Department takes it up and presses federal charges and sent a team of FBI agents to barge into this man's house in front of his children and arrest him and drag him out.
Armed, big scary guns.
Well, yesterday, Mr. Houck had his day in court, and the jury of his peers acquitted Mr. Houck of any federal charges, naturally, of course, because we still do live
in America. But he has still been through this. He was dragged out of his house. His kids were terrified. There was video of it.
Yeah.
Showing his very small kids having to witness this.
It was an absolute horrific miscarriage of justice from Merrick Garland and this disgusting Justice Department that needs to be
under Biden,
reformed.
The good Catholic.
Yeah,
forget,
of course,
right?
The good Catholic. Yeah. You betcha. So this is a huge win, thank God. And but it's an incredible lesson. And Mr. Houck needs to sue.
Mr. Houck needs
to sue the federal government for a violation of his civil rights for this warped interpretation of this law. And let's just be clear here. These charges were brought before the Dobbs decision came down. Because it was like, well, you know, they're just doing their best to protect these Planned Parenthood agencies. Just Planned Parenthood doesn't need any of your protection, okay? Nothing's happened. But this all stems from a law that Republicans signed on to, too, in the mid-90s. Because there was a string of – there was a couple of bombings, as you know, or a couple of abortionists were tracked down by radical activists. And so there was a law that specifically protected Planned Parenthood clinics from certain types of aggressive protests. The fact that they are now – the Biden administration is now interpreting that to mean if you are standing on a public street praying the rosary – in front of a Planned Parenthood, you are now subject to a federal crime. And again, even though this guy, the local courts and the civil courts threw this out as absolutely not money. By the way, last night, Hannity had surveillance footage. Why have we never seen this? We the people, we the public have never seen it. You would think that Merrick Garland, I mean, look at the video, the horrific video of the police beating we saw Friday. When you've got a strong case and justice is on your side and truth is on your side, you let people see that video. Why didn't Joe Biden's and Merrick Garland's Justice Department let us see this video until after the acquittal? Hannity had the video, and it is unmistakable. This man is standing all by himself, literally minding his own business, having a conversation with God, and this volunteer makes a beeline for him, walks down the sidewalk, gets right into his face. And when you see the push that this guy gives, it makes it sound like it was such a violent attack. He gives him a shove to clear him away. Any other human being would not fall to the ground. He did a LeBron James flop. Like he was trying to draw the foul so he could get a free throw in an NBA game. This is an embarrassment.
This has nothing to do with the safety of abortion clinics. This has to do with Biden's determination to destroy this man's life and send a message to all of us. You do this. You go pray in front of an abortion clinic. We're going to come and get you. This is the intent of the Biden administration. It's Stasi actions.
Joe Biden's a devout Catholic, by the way. I want to make sure that I remind everybody of that. That's, you know.
I know we're close here, but I also want to point out, have there been, Larry, I want to ask you, have there been any investigations from Merrick Garland about the attacks on pro-life centers?
No. I haven't. Well, I mean, they claim that they're prioritizing. They claim that they put it out there. They claim that they've put FBI has now put a reward out for anybody who
a
has
reward.
Information.
Oh, that's nice. There have been over 300 Catholic churches and pregnancy centers that have been attacked.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been any investigation. That's a lie. There hasn't been any investigation into these.
Of course there haven't. 15 agents stormed Houck's home, pointing their weapons at his wife and 7 children in October. But now, and thank God for swift justice, too. I mean, the arrests were made in October. He was acquitted today. That usually doesn't happen, actually. Usually these things drag out. It's awful. It takes forever. But justice was done yesterday. And coming up at 8:05, we're going to speak with Sean Carney, CEO and president of 40 Days for Life, to get his reaction to this incredibly great news. But this needs to be the beginning of fighting back against this Justice Department. And House Republicans, staffers on the Judiciary Committee, add this to the list, guys. Add this to the list. It's 5:15.
WMAL. Making sense of the news.
Live
from the Home Paramount Pest Control Studios.
Home Paramount, the leader in pest control since 1939.
Join Vince Colonnais February 7th for the all-new Steak of the Union at Bourbon Boulevard in Chantilly. Details at WMAL.com/steak.
Did I mention there's no snow?
Several times.
who doesn't love Senator John Kennedy? No relation.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And it is weird to say, oh, did you see what Senator Kennedy did yesterday? And I said, what, you mean continue to decompose?
But
Kennedy. What?
Yeah, but it does actually trigger me a little bit. I was, you know,
right. It's like, all right.
I worked in the Senate when Kennedy was there. Scary times. You always had to watch your back.
Sure, at least.
Yes. And your front.
Where you from? So totally different Kennedy. Kennedy from Louisiana, Senator John Kennedy. He's great for a soundbite. He is great.
Oh my
he's
gosh,
just
he's
amazing.
So
I mean, one issue that I have with him is that I almost get the feeling like he's got a joke writer on staff, right?
I think he's the joke writer, though.
Maybe he is, but he does. Oh, I got a Fox News hit this morning. I better get some one-liners ready because they're always prepared. None of this stuff just rolls off the top of his head. But he's got this drawl. He's got this Louisiana thing going on, and it's just his delivery is very much like he just right off the farm, and
he just got off the porch. Yeah. He put his lemonade down.
Exactly. Let me take off his straw hat and his overalls and put my suit on so I can go do the people's business in the Senate. And you love that. That's what we want, right? He's actually probably one of the smartest people, if not the smartest person on Capitol Hill.
He's got a bit of a Columbo thing going, right? Yeah. For those of you who remember the TV show Columbo, right?
I'm real confused
this. I'm just a simple man, right? I don't care.
Can you explain this to me? Right. Because I don't quite get it.
I'm kind of dumb,
but
right?
Then but then we've seen these moments, though, when either an interviewer, a reporter, or sometimes a witness that he's questioning mm-hmm. actually buys into this.
Well, underestimate him, yes.
And thinks that he's just some dumb country bumpkin. I think he's got a PhD
in economics. Yes.
He is one of the smartest members of Congress. I know, low bar, but no, there's some smart people up there.
Sometimes what people don't anticipate are very simple questions.
Well, there you go. And that brings us to yesterday's questioning. He's on the Judiciary Committee, and there's a nomination process. And let's face it, if the Democrats want to confirm a Biden nominee, they're going to confirm a Biden nominee. These hearings are important, though, to let the American people know exactly who's getting put on the federal bench. All right. So here's a woman who is an attorney general in the state of Washington. She's practiced law for like 25 years in the state of Washington. And so Senator Kennedy wants to know a little bit about her knowledge base.
She's going to be put on the federal bench.
On the federal bench.
This is really important. You know the Constitution.
Yeah.
Tell me what Article 5 of the Constitution does.
By the way, let me just say, I'm dumb enough to actually know what Article 5 does. We talk about it all the time. This just tells you how out of touch she is with mainstream conversations a little right of center. You don't even have to be a far right-wing conservative.
My husband, who's in IT, we were watching this clip. Yeah. My husband screamed out what Article 5 is instantly. Yes. Most people that are like sort of in this world know what the Articles of the Constitution are.
Yeah, this has
and he's not a federal judge.
That's the other thing. She as a federal judge and somebody who practices law and attorney general should know what every article of the Constitution does. I think that's one of your first classes you take your first year in law school is constitutional law.
Yes.
Con law is like first semester of law school, right? That said, Article 5 is in the news a lot because state legislatures are passing the Convention of the States bill. It's an Article 5 convention where the Article 5 allows for the states to actually get together and amend the Constitution.
That's right.
Article 5. So I know what it is. You know what it is.
Yes.
Didn't even have to look it up.
Right.
All right. Here's your judicial nominee.
Article 5 is not coming to mind at the moment.
Okay. How about Article 2?
I know that one too.
Yep.
Oh. Neither is Article 2.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh. Her name is Charnel Jelkengren.
Jelkengren.
Yeah. She's going to get confirmed.
Chuck
Schumer will make sure that she is confirmed. He will make sure that she's on the federal bench. She's probably got a fast track to, you know, the Supreme Court.
He then went on. Kennedy also just very quickly. He then went on to ask her, "Were you going to play this? Because it's this I didn't know."
Yeah, okay. I've never heard this word before, and I love that he doesn't actually define
it's purposivism, and apparently that is, you know, I'd actually never heard of that word. But what's interesting?
Well, here, I'll play it so everybody could hear this as well. Hang on, stand by.
Tell me what Article 5 of the Constitution does. Do you know what purposivism is?
So she doesn't. I'll give you her answer in a moment, but what is purposivism?
It's an approach to interpreting statutory law that maintains that the legal effect of a statute should be determined by the objective purpose of the statute. By the way, I'm not reading that. I said that from memory. Kidding.
Uh-huh.
Kidding.
But that is something that a federal judge is going to – I mean, that's like the job.
And this particular court is – that's a huge part of the job.
Sure.
Is apparently –
that's what a federal judge does on a regular basis.
And she didn't know.
In my 12 years as an assistant attorney general and my 9 years serving as a judge, I was not faced with that precise question. We are the highest trial court in Washington state, so I'm frequently faced with issues that I'm not familiar with, and I thoroughly review the law, research, and apply the law to the facts presented to me.
Uh-huh. Well, you're going to be faced with it as a, if you're confirmed. I can assure you of that.
She seems qualified.
It's interesting, this article that I'm reading. It says, Kennedy's harsh questioning of judicial nominees has stopped a nominee from being confirmed before. So
all right,
he's known to be, you know, kind of tough.
Yeah, and you'd think that you'd be prepped. Yeah. Unless you knew that it doesn't matter.
Well,
you could be a log and get confirmed.
Because she should have learned this the first year of law school, mm-hmm. though. This is, I mean, prepping for basics. A little too late for that.
It's 5:23. Steph Curry is probably the most talented and successful basketball player right now. I mean, other than LeBron James, but LeBron James is a whiny little girl. Anyway, Steph Curry is also an incredibly left-wing liberal. He mm-hmm. takes on every call. I guess so is LeBron James, now that I think about it. And he plays for a San Francisco basketball team, the Golden State Warriors.
So of course he's a liberal.
You don't get more liberal than
right.
that. Apparently he's now pushing back on a proposed affordable housing project near his $30 million mansion. The Free Beacon is reporting that Steph Curry is joining a consortium fighting back against this because he's very concerned about his privacy and
his
safety.
He's scared of the poors.
Yeah, so they want to build a wall.
Yeah, he literally is demanding yeah. that this housing development have really tall walls so they can't see into his property.
He joined a nonprofit focused on bridging the racial wealth gap, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. And he wrote a letter with his wife, Aisha, to the city of Atherton, California, asking that it reconsider the construction of a 16-unit property near their estate. We hesitate to add to the not in our backyard rhetoric, but we wanted to send the note before today's meeting and say, not in our freaking backyard.
You gotta love it.
Safety and privacy for us and our kids continues to be our top priority.
But not on the southern border.
Right.
People on the southern border don't get walls.
Oh, go put it in another neighborhood yeah. because we don't care about right. their safety
put
and
the
privacy.
The poor's over there.
But I'm freaking Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And my privacy is more important.
I need a wall.
Every single day. Every single day. It's like the first third of Atlas Shrugged. Ayn Rand was such a prophet.
Yes.
It's 5:30.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
News now.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Hi there, 5:36 here, O'Connor and Company on a Tuesday morning, and it's a busy one. A lot going on in the news, not necessarily your typical Democrat versus Republican, you know, debt ceiling debates, and we like it that way because there's more important things like the safety of your children, who gets to have a say about your children. Sage's Law that we're going to tell you about in just a moment, it's making its way through the Virginia House. Laura Bryant Hanford will join us at 6:05 to talk about her testimony as a mother. It's 6:35, Jeff Burke, vice chairman of the Republican Jewish Coalition, about Ilhan Omar and why she is unfit for the Foreign Affairs Committee. 7:05, James Rosen, our pal at Newsmax, covers the White House. 7:35, Victoria Cobb, president of the Family Foundation, on a new bill to save girls' sports in Virginia. 8:05, Sean Carney of 40 Days for Life, talking about the acquittal of Mark Houck on federal charges. And then at 8:35, Virginia Delegate Nick Freitas on pretty much all those things and more. Julie Gunlock is here. Julie, how are you?
Good morning.
Listen, one of the things that we talk about, it's funny, it was like people, I don't know, at your event this last week, it's like, what's Julie like in real life, right? What's Larry like? What do you guys talk about? We talk about parenting.
Yeah,
we talk about
lot.
Cooking for our family. We talk about raising our kids. We talk about school and those choices. That's what makes the world go round. That's what is most important to us because we know it's most important to you. It's one of the reasons why, you know, we conservatives keep getting attacked and accused of, you know, starting the culture war. It's like, we didn't start that. If you didn't want a culture war, you shouldn't have fired the first shot, as Andrew
right.
Klavan has said recently. And this whole idea of the transgender agenda and how that is translating into policies in our schools affecting our children and getting parents out of the conversation about something as vital as our own children's identity and how they live their lives. That's something so fundamental that it is frankly one of the most depressing things in the world that that is now a partisan divide, that Democrats can't even bring themselves to the point where they can vote on the side of parents being right. involved in their parents, in their children's identity
yeah.
And gender choices. And Sage's Law, which is making its way through the Virginia House of Delegates, really brings this topic home in a very real way. It's about Sage. Sage is not this person's real name. It's a euphemism. It's a like a Jane Doe situation, yes. or Jane yes. Roe, if you will.
Yes.
This is a Virginia teen who was sex trafficked twice after the school hid the child's gender identity from her parents. And once the first sex trafficking crime was discovered and the parents finally got their child back, the state refused to allow the child back with their parents because their parents would not affirm the gender identity of this teenager.
Let's be clear. She was failed by her school. Then she was failed by her public defender who said she's too scared. She shouldn't be brought back to her family's house.
Right.
Then she was failed by the judge. And then she was trafficked again. It is multi-layers of failure.
Yeah. And the parents were never allowed
never.
To parent
right.
because they refused to affirm the gender identity. This is a very real, you know, we talked about the fact that Lorena Gonzalez, the state delegate, wanted to criminalize a parent.
Elizabeth.
Excuse me, not Lorena.
Guzman.
I
no,
apologize.
No, no. What, now I'm messing
right,
it up.
You're right, it is Guzman.
Yeah. She wants to throw parents in jail. She wants to throw parents in jail.
This is frankly, I think, even worse than being jailed. To see your child abused like this, and you're not allowed to intervene. Here's some testimony. It's a few minutes long. This is the grandmother of Sage, the subject of Sage's Law.
She wanted to wear boys' clothes and be emo. Because I saw it as just a phase, it was fine with me. But at school, she told them something different. She was now a boy named Draco with male pronouns. Sage asked the school not to tell me, and they did not tell me, even though I informed them of her mental health history and medication. If I had known, this would be a much different story. She was terribly bullied. No one told me, but boys followed her, touched her, threatened violence and rape. Something happened in the boys' bathroom, but for 2 days, the school told me nothing. They kept meeting with Sage alone, and she became so distraught, they called me to pick her up. That evening, I found a hall pass labeled Draco, and Sage told me she was identifying as a boy, and that her counselor said she could use the boys' bathroom. She'd been jacked up against the wall by a group of boys. She was crying, terrified. I said, just stay home, we'll figure it out. That was my last conversation with Sage for 5 months.
All right, we're going to...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
To get into a little bit more of this, I want you to hear the rest of this testimony. It's already heart-wrenching if you think about it. And you look at what the school does here. The school says to this little girl, you can go ahead and identify with a boy and we'll keep your secret. Then a horrible incident happens in the boys' room. And now what's this? Now, any time that happens, you would think the parents would be notified immediately.
No.
But see, now the school can't.
Right.
Because if the school reveals to the parents that a violent sexual assault happened in the boys' bathroom, then the school has to explain, why was my daughter in the boys' bathroom?
Right.
And the school has promised that they're going to keep this secret. And by law now, or by policy, they have to do that because Democrats have forced that into the school system. And so now the violent sexual assault of this little girl in the boys' room is also kept from the parents.
You have to understand that there is a concerted effort to separate children from their parents,
yeah.
to tell children the only safe place, the only safe counsel, the only safe person is your teacher or some other person at school. Your parents are unsafe. Your parents don't love you. They don't trust you. They don't want you to be what you want to be. This is very dangerous. And the testimony that she gives here yeah. is so convincing, well, but you, as you said, very hard to listen
it
to.
It is hard to listen to, but we're going to. We have to. We yep. have to face this that's going, because this is the reality of it. It's not just drag queen story hour, and it's not just Mrs. Jones putting up a rainbow flag
right.
in the classroom. This is the reality of it. And in a moment, you'll hear more from Michelle Blair telling the story about Sage. It's critically important. So keep it here. That's coming up. Talking about Sage's Law, and we've got you covered on this story as Laura Hanford, who testified about this law, is going to join us coming up at 6:05. Also tomorrow, Delegate Dave LaRocque is going to join us to talk about this, and Delegate Nick Freitas is joining us at 8:35 today. That's how seriously we're taking this issue. A little bit more on this testimony. Again, this is the grandmother of the sage in question, the person who has inspired this law, so you can hear this story.
She'd been jacked up against the wall by a group of boys. She was crying, terrified. I said, just stay home, we'll figure it out. That was my last conversation with Sage for 5 months. The night she ran, she thought to a young friend she'd met online. She left a note saying she was scared of what would happen if she stayed. The sheriff, FBI, search dogs were called in. I dropped to my knees in prayer. 9 days later, the FBI found her in Baltimore. My baby had been lured online, sex trafficked by DC, then Maryland. She was locked in a room, drugged, gang-raped, and brutalized by countless men. It was night. The FBI told us to pick her up in Maryland the next morning. We packed our cars with blankets and stuffed animals and arrived by 8 a.m., but we were told we couldn't see her and were summoned before Judge Robert Kershaw late that afternoon. They didn't even tell Sage that we came for her. We finally entered the courtroom, and Sage appears on a huge Zoom screen from a prison cell. She looks tiny and broken, and I cry out, "I love you, Sage." Sage responds, "I love you too, Nana." But attorney Anissa Khan rebukes us. She is a he, and his name is Draco, not Sage. We were floored. What? Khan accuses us of emotional and physical abuse, that we are misgendering her, even though we just learned she claims to be trans and we're willing to use any name and pronouns to bring her home. My husband was so tearful, he kept forgetting the new pronouns. So the judge had the bailiff remove him from the courtroom. I was pleading for my child to be returned and treated for her unspeakable trauma. Judge Kershaw told me if I used the word trauma again, he would throw me out too. For over 2 months, he withheld custody. He housed Sage in a male quarters of a children's home. Sage told me she was the only girl and repeatedly assaulted. She was given street drugs by the other kids, and Khan told her she didn't care. She just wanted to win the case and all the way to Supreme Court if necessary. Khan tried to prove abuse, but we were eventually cleared by both states of all charges.
Wow.
So what does Sage's Law do? Sage's Law is a bill that makes it clear that declining to use a minor's preferred name or pronoun cannot be construed as child abuse. Right now, that's how it's being interpreted in some quarters of the Commonwealth. And as you can hear, this is systemic. You hear about this all the time. Systemic racism, systemic this, systemic that, systemic discrimination. This is now systemic. It's in our system. It's in the social workers.
That's right.
It's in the schools. It's in the courts. It's in the public defenders. It's in the prosecutors. It is systemic.
Absolutely.
That if you refuse to use a child's gender pronoun, you're the problem, and we're going to go ahead.
And again, don't forget that Elizabeth Guzman wants to throw those parents in jail.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, Guzman is secondary at this point because of the what has happened to this young girl.
Yeah.
The system is already doing
You're
this.
Right. Yep.
Regardless, I mean, I assure you this grandmother would rather be in jail if it meant that her daughter, her granddaughter, was protected from this. Democrats in Virginia have vowed to kill this legislation.
Right.
Democrats in Virginia, led by Democrat delegate Danica Rome, who is a cause celeb because Danica Rome used to be Daniel Rome.
Right.
And ran as the first transgender elected official in the country and raised a ton of money outside of Virginia to win that race. And now is in her third term, his third term. And Danica Rome, a transgender representative down in Prince William County, wake up. Stafford County, wake up. This is your representative. Danica Rome says even more children will be put in danger if the government interjects itself into the most personal of family discussions like this. I'm sorry, the government is interjecting itself, Danica.
Yes.
Danica used to come on this show, but got angry because I dared to challenge Danica Rome about sports. And I remember when Danica Rome was running and I said, well, you know, where do you stand on you know, boys competing in girls' sports? And the response, this was 6 years ago, a much more innocent time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, nobody's talking about
right,
that.
No, that's always what they say.
Oh, no one's claiming that that's what needs to happen.
Right.
No one in Virginia wants that to happen.
Right.
No one. That was the response. Yeah, where are we now?
And we've so far from that point now.
Oh, please.
That this young girl was kept from her loving grandparents for months, and in that time was raped multiple times.
I want you to hear a little bit. This is a doctor testifying, Dr. Aaron Brewer testifying yesterday again.
I'm a former trans kid. I was insistent and persistent and insistent that I was a boy when I started first grade after a brutal sexual assault. If I had been affirmed by my teachers, it would have allowed me to completely dissociate from myself as a girl and create a new persona who could pretend that the horrible trauma that triggered my gender dysphoria hadn't happened to me. It would have reinforced the mistaken belief that had caused me to develop gender dysphoria, that it was too dangerous to be a girl. Instead of encouraging my confusion and hiding it from my mother, the school contacted my mother, got permission for me to be assessed by the school psychologist, and they came up with a comprehensive program to help me resolve my gender dysphoria. I'm incredibly grateful to that school psychologist and to my teachers for doing the right thing, for formulating a program to help me to understand that I was not inherently flawed and that I was not born in the wrong body.
And here's a little bit more. I want to cover this as much as possible. And like I said, coming up, we've got at 6:05, coming up in just a few moments, we've got multiple people who testified about this law. And also coming up, we've got Delegate Nick Freitas at 8:35. We'll ask him about this law, the bill that's making its way through. And again, I want to remind you, coming up tomorrow, Delegate Dave LaRock, who actually proposed this, he'll be joining us too. Laura Hanford, coming up at 6:05, we'll continue this conversation about Sage's.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band, like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I hope you realize now how important this is. It's 5:53. All right, coming up, we are going to speak with Laura Bryant Hanford. She testified about Sage's law that we've been priming you for here. We'll get more into it. And then at 6:35, Jeff Burke is going to join us about why Ilhan Omar should be nowhere near the House Foreign Affairs Committee. All that coming up. Keep it here. It's a big day on O'Connor and Company.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. A Cumulus Media.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.